Homeschooling is an epic investment of your time, energy, and on days, your sanity. Our goal is to come alongside you with weekly encouragement and practical help so you can homeschool boldly.
Hi, this is Kay, and I want to welcome you to the Homeschool Boldly podcast brought to you by Homeschooling Today magazine, the magazine that makes you feel good, not guilty. I think that's one of my favorite phrases because so many times we go to resources and we end up feeling like I can never do all of that. I'm not good enough. And I think this topic today that we're going to talk about is perfect for saying, yeah, you can keep it simple and super educational at the same time. We have been having a conversation about the essential elements of a natural learning home. In other words, you know, allowing kids just to learn in the way that they were designed to learn from the very beginning, because often we put so many things in their way, I think we almost hinder it when they're younger instead of letting it be just a natural process. So today we are talking about the idea to have lots of resources in your home, resources for creativity, for doing projects, the kind of things you want to have laying around so that when your kids say, I'm bored, you can go, hey, go to the resource closet or box or whatever you have. Matter of fact, I've even mentioned in the article that this is based on that it's great to even have a list of ideas for your kids when they're really struggling to come up with something just to get them brainstorming, getting thinking about the things they can do. So I'm here with Ashley, and Ashley's kids are how old?
8, 5, and 2.
8, 5, and 2. So I was going to start off by asking you, what kind of resources do you like to have around your house?
Well, at this age level, we love Play-Doh. It's something easy to pull out. Water and bubbles. So I have, okay, and this is a recommendation from the Homegrown Preschooler, which I highly recommend all of their resources. They write the Cultivating Little Learners column for us. And I learned this from them that at Sam's Club, there are these bins for busing tables, and they are the perfect size for sensory activities. So I have those handy, and we put water in there with dish soap, and it's just a lot of fun for ages that I have. And then putting sand in there with rocks and different items that they can pour and, you know, build with. Really, it's the simple things that come most naturally to kids that they gravitate towards, those are the things that are actually best for them. And it's us that think, well, hold on a second. Is this really what they need? Shouldn't we be learning A, B, C's and, you know, writing our numbers and adding things together and stuff like that? And the truth is that these kinds of activities prepare them for the other things. So I was listening to a book the other day called Better Late Than Early, and it's an excellent book by Dr. Raymond Moore. One of the things he mentioned was that being outside with kids when they're looking at little things and differentiating between leaves and flowers and these little things that they see, they come across the tiny little bug and they stare at it and watch it do what it does. They're actually training themselves, you know, their eyes are being trained to recognize differences in letters. So all of that is preparing them for reading, and it doesn't look like it to us as parents. We're just watching them stare at a bug, and we're not thinking that anything particularly amazing is happening on the inside. But God created them to learn, and He created them to be creative. So I love talking about this topic because I think it's one that we kind of forget. We set it aside and we think, well, you know, creativity is great, but we need to get all these other things done.
But we need to get our math done, you know, or we have to start writing. I think we don't realize that if we give our children these opportunities, those other things actually come much faster later on than trying to start them too early.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Even storytelling and thinking and processing what they're understanding about the world around them, all of that is the inward preparation for the outward result that's going to happen down the road. And we try to do the outward thing first, and they're not ready. And then we get frustrated, and they get frustrated, and everybody hates homeschooling. And that's just not the way to go. That's not what your kids need. And it's counterintuitive because on the outside, it doesn't really look like much is happening. But when kids are playing and being creative, so much more is going on than what we can perceive.
And that's so good. And I love the point of the fact that if we would just sit back and watch and observe our kids, I think we would actually start picking up the fact that they are learning more. There's something about watching kids play. You're really surprised like how advanced their thinking skills are in doing it. We have some little ones that we consider our grandchildren, and the girls are almost 6 years old now. But watching the last few years, it brought me back. And I think being in a different role than mom has given me the chance just to sit back and wonder about, wow, like the things they've picked up without anyone telling them to, that we laugh because one of them likes to take the phone and make an order on the Chick-fil-A app. And so we were laughing about that being their favorite place. But even how it's done differently now, used to you would go to the place, but now you can get on the app and make your order. And they know that at such a young age because that's their world and they just pick up on it. So I think when you sit back and watch your kids, you will be amazed at what they're learning and how they do it. And one of the reasons I like to make the point about having the resources available is when we think of resources, we might think of they have to be expensive things and every craft supply that's available. Now, we always seem to have construction paper and pipe cleaners and things like that, but sometimes it's also the toys we invest in. My youngest son went through a phase where it was all about Thomas the Tank Engine, and so we had a lot of wooden trains, and that was a great toy for laying out the tracks. We had a lot of tracks, so just trying to find the biggest spot on the living room floor and letting him go after the design of those tracks. It's amazing what small children can do with that, or Lego. And there's so many different things. Matter of fact, my next article in this spring issue is going to be about Lego and the value of things like that. One of the things that we used to keep around the house is a box full of old game tokens, play money, pieces of games that over the time the other pieces were lost and they weren't any good, or you can pick them up at a garage sale. And I would get at the dollar store some of those foam boards. And so we always had an area ready to go where if they wanted to create a game, they had those. And as they got older, even we were able to do that as review on a unit. Now create a game about this time period that we've studied. What are the things have your kids like gravitate towards? What do they like to pick up and start doing something with?
Well, Lincoln, always if we have a box that we're about to throw away, he confiscates it immediately, and he has been really interested in creating a vending machine. So he'll have a little opening. Sometimes there's a little drawstring that opens it. You have a prize that you get. You know, there's this complicated system that he's creating with these boxes, and I just love it. There's so much he's thinking about and learning through that process, and I don't want to stop him in order to get him to do something else, because I think that's exactly what he should be doing with his creativity.
Oh, that's perfect. And, you know, we always had an excessive amount of cardboard, probably, and duct tape around. I don't know how many things my children did with duct tape and cardboard, but a lot of it had to do with medieval times because my oldest was such a history buff, and they're boys, and we had a group of homeschool kids that we would do things with, and they all ended up making a lot of swords and shields through the years, and being the boy mom, you just kind of had to get used to the fact that they were going to now beat one another with it, and they weren't soft like Nerf, but it was like, you know, they'll learn. They had a blast beating up each other for years. I think it was actually really good. And they would come up with some very elaborate designs. And one of our kids that was in that group even does set design for Sight and Sound now, works there. And so it's really neat to see how, as little boys, they were just playing with these things in creative ways. But at least for some of those, that actually became a part of what they were designed to do in their future endeavors. So it's kind of like we've got to be very careful not to squash that, because we don't know how God's going to use it in their lives.
Mm-hmm. And really what we put value on, they'll put value on. And so if we value creativity and we value that and kind of foster it in them, it's going to become something that they're encouraged in, that they grow in and develop even more elaborate things. My boys, they're building a fort in the backyard. So we have bamboo. And so they, with their dad's help, cut down the bamboo and they'll create things out of it. And right now they were building a wall yesterday and a door that opens. So, you know, all of these things, they're creating memories, they're thinking, so much is going on that is so valuable and important for our kids' development.
And like you said, they were doing it with dad. And that was one of our other elements, was all about relationship. And I think that's why at the beginning I made a comment about sometimes we overcomplicate. And the beauty of a natural learning environment is that all of these things work together. So you're not going, okay, now is relationship time. Now is creativity time. Now we're going to, no, it's just they all blend together. And it's really about doing life together and learning alongside one another. One of my favorite points, though, in this area is that they need time. We can't do this if we have a full day of schedule of going to this sport and this music lesson and this club, and we need to get a full day of math and science and all. When are they going to have time just to sit back and create? When are they going to have time to be bored so that they create their own fun? So whatever space you have, it doesn't have to be an entire closet. We were lucky. We have an older house and I had a closet to put resources in. It could be a box. It could be something you slide underneath a bed. And it doesn't have to be elaborate, you know, just some simple things that your kids can grab, especially if it's something you know that they're interested in right now. Like you, that's going to be boxes. You know that your son is going to want to keep that box. I just encourage you guys to think through resources that you can have in your home that will encourage this creativity, encourage learning. And we're not talking about arts and crafts. That's great. And that's one of the things that some kids lean toward. But it could be even doing projects that have to do with something else you're learning about. My kids love to make kind of like a diorama in sand and put Lego people and decorate it like a time period they might have been studying. I just want you to realize that these resources can be used not just when they're little, even though that's what we focused on today. But you'd be amazed, even as they get older, how often they will go to that area to grab something if you continue to have this attitude of let learning happen as naturally as possible. We are so glad you guys joined us today, and we want you to remember, you've got this, he's got you.
This podcast is brought to you by Homeschooling Today magazine. Homeschooling Today is a quarterly magazine created by real people with a passion for honesty and encouragement. You won't find articles telling you everything you're not doing. Instead, you'll find homeschooling parents who have walked where you are or are currently on the path and want to help you succeed. We want to invite you to subscribe today and join the growing movement of parents who are setting aside comparisons, taking control of their children's education, choosing courage over fear, letting God lead, and homeschooling boldly. Visit homeschoolingtoday.com to learn more.